Welcome to the Alternativo podcast. I'm your host, Canyon Cody, taking you on a deep dive into the world of Latin alternative with in-depth conversations with legends like Juanes and Julieta Venegas, Café Tacuba, Natalia Lafourcade, and a new generation of young superstars like Omar Apollo, Danny Lux, Cuco, and Iván Cornejo, who have all stopped by our weekly radio program, Alternativo with Subsuelo, broadcasting at the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 FM in Los Angeles. But on the radio show, we only have time to air brief snippets of those conversations, so here on the Alternativo podcast is where you will find the unedited, uncut, extended version of all those interviews. Follow and listen to the Alternativo podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app. And we are back. This is Alternalido, and it is the time of the show when I get to have a friend of the family come by. And this isn't even a friend of the family. This is just family. We got Francesca Harding right here on the program. How you doing, Panamami?
Hi, Canyon. What's going on with you?
I mean, you're somebody who I've known since before Subsuelo existed. Yeah. I used to go to your party, Bodega, back in the day when I didn't have a friend to call. And I made a lot of friends there. In fact, I met Farah Sosa, the co-founder of Subsuelo, at your party. And you are the person who, if I got like a stomach bug from a taco truck and had to call somebody to fill in for me at an important gig, you'd be the person I could call.
Well, it's an honor, number one. And number two, that's great for me because you always have the illest parties happening. So I would love to be your sub always. Canyon, it's great to see you, man.
So Francesca Harding, you know, when I met you, you were DJ Panamami. You are somebody who has lived a lot of lives, worn a lot of hats. You've thrown a lot of great parties. You're a phenomenal DJ. And let's just start in the middle right now. Talk to me about what you're doing right now with music supervision.
At the moment, I'm working at an ad agency. It's primarily film trailers and TV trailers, digital spots, etc. So it's been really great. I'm also co-music supervising a show on OWN. It's coming out, I believe, next year. It's my first TV show, so that's been really rad. I'm also music supervising a web series, which was really interesting because it kind of was born out of the pandemic. So it follows artists of color who have had to pivot in light of the global pandemic. Like, what does their artistic journeys look like when all of our, you know, structures that we were used to kind of came crumbling down? So that's been super ill to be a part of. But, you know, once the pandemic hit, I was like, okay, I'm obviously not running around in the streets like I normally am, kind of going from one gig to another. So it really gave me an opportunity to just sit down and focus on the music supervision. And it's something that I really love to do. And I'm excited to see where it goes.
And music supervision is kind of that like grad school that every working DJ thinks about, like, you know, when I grow up, that's how I'm going to make my money. But the way I've been afraid of it always is that I'm afraid that it's too much legalese and contracts. So how much of it is creative and how much of it is logistics?
I mean, I was a little bit surprised, right, at how much paperwork is involved. And it is. But if you are someone who is both right-brained and left-brained, which I believe you are, I feel like you can really excel in this kind of field. It's definitely creative. I don't make final creative decisions. You know, it's definitely a collaborative effort, but I'm so obsessed with film. And so being able to marry song to picture is really a dream. And I'm also type A, and I'm organized, and, you know, send me a Google Evite for the hang on Saturday night, and I am like, yes, you know, you are my tribe. So it's really great that I'm able to kind of use both sides of my brain on a daily basis. But, you know, the contract stuff is a bit of a drag, but, you know, it's a part of it. And it's not so bad when you get to work on really dope films that you're passionate about.
But one of the unique things about Bodega for me was that it had like an East Coast flavor. It had a very New York vibe to it, even though it was an LA party. There was a lot more salsa and merengue and bachata than you would normally see at an LA party. And how did that happen? Was that just kind of random, or was that something you guys did on purpose?
I mean, we were really like, okay, what should the texture, what should the flavor of the party look like, feel like, sound like? And we really just kept going back to, well, what are we listening to at the quinceañera? What are we listening to when we see our aunties, you know, on Mother's Day? And, you know, if I go to Panama, I'm listening to nothing but salsa. I'm listening to hella bachata. And so we really just kind of wanted it to feel super authentic to ourselves and our backgrounds. And not to mention, when we first began the party, we were flying out DJs from the East Coast. And so that may have also kind of helped to shape that New York East Coast feel. Uproot Andy was our very first guest. I think we had Gecko Jones, maybe like, yeah, it was ill. Maybe Gecko Jones, I think like 2-3 Sundays later, it was a Sunday party. And so the very first kind of like guest yet that we opened our doors up to brought their flavor with them.
Do I remember Cut Chemist playing Bodega?
He did. Shout out to Cut, man. You know, and he had, I think he was using one turntable and his like loop pedal machine, and he was sweating, and exactly, and just brought the house down. I think he did an anniversary party, was probably like year 3, year 4, you know. But that's the thing, like, what Soup Swallow does very well, just looking around, we're so blessed to be surrounded by people who are limitlessly talented. And so just being able to loop in folks who we know to come and do their thing and for it to be magic. And so we were really able to bring in a lot of people, you know, from abroad and from, you know, other sides of the US shore, but just even in our own backyard, who really just made the party what it was.
And just as a creative myself, I always really enjoyed the competitiveness, but also like respect and love basedness between us as crews and us, just me and you as DJs. You know, like, I'm not trying to let you be a better DJ than me, but I'm also enjoying the fact that like you're making me better.
Yes. I mean, listen, I believe that I was at Soup Swallow when it first started happening, right?
And yeah, you were there on the first one, and I think you were our third guest ever.
Right, and
second
second. I think so. Wasn't it Oro Once who was the first guest?
Oro, yeah, Gavin was first.
Hey, Gavin. Shout out to Oro Once. So to be able to just witness, you know, be a fly on the wall and to see how Soup Swallow developed was extra ill. And then, you know, yeah, you're right. Like, we would have Soup Swallow folks DJing our party. You guys would open up your homes to us. And it was very cute. Maybe a little bit competitive, but like in this healthy way, right? But that's what DJing is, though, right?
Like, I'm lucky because I got DJ Ethos on my team. So like at the end of the day, I got Kawhi, you know, I got my man Big. I get to be like seen payaso no hay fiesta, you know, I get to play the fun part.
Listen, but C. Brown, I always say to anyone who will listen that C. Brown raised me. Mm-hmm. C. Brown and I were throwing a hip hop party before we did Bodega, probably like 2 years before, at this little hole in the wall called Carbon on the West Side.
Yeah. And across the street from In-N-Out. Shout out.
You already know.
Still holding it down.
Exactly. But I learned everything I know about DJing from just watching C. Brown go. And I have no idea why he took pity on me and wanted to be in my DJ crew in the first place.
Yeah, because he's, you know,
and I appreciate it so much. And so, I mean,
listen. And C. Brown got his flowers. He got to tour the world with Farside. And, you know, like, shout out to C. Brown. Like, everything he has received, he earned.
Listen. Moment of silence.
So we are talking with Francesca. I originally knew you as Panamami. That was your original DJ name. And so let's just go back. How did you get the name Panamami? And tell me about your background. How'd you get into music?
My parents are both Black Panamanians. And my mother's nickname is Mami. Everyone calls her, oh, you're Mami's daughter. Oh, how's Mami? When I would see, you know, folks of her generation out in the streets. And so for me, I'm like, you know, I'm always trying to honor my mother. And it was definitely a shout out to, you know, my culture and where my folks are from. So that's what it was. And then it was also, you know, very in line with the kind of music that I was playing. But, you know, we grew up in a home you know, listening to everything. My mom is a huge music lover. So again, it was a lot of salsa, a lot of bachata, a lot of reggae, Spanish reggae at the time. But then, you know, we loved R&B and it was hip hop. It was everything, which has really informed everything that I've been able to do since. I remember like one of the first kind of vinyl records we had was this Wham record that my mom loved because she was in love with George Michael. And a couple of times we saw him on TV and he had these tight leather pants on and my mom would be like, that's a real man. You see that? That is a real man. And I was like, yes. So, you know, it was always cross-genre, cross-generational in the house. And that's why, you know, being able to be an open format DJ. I don't know how you feel about it, but you know, I feel like certain DJs who've been able to kind of focus, they're like, no, I am a house DJ. I do EDM. I'm known for my hip hop sets. It's almost easier to book them because folks know like what they do if you're able to kind of like have a niche and kind of go for it. And I'm just like, I'm too ADD. I want to have a rock and roll night. Tomorrow I want to play all house. And I also want to have these open format kind of moments because we're music lovers and we love everything. And so those are the kinds of parties that I've always kind of been attracted to. And now with Music Supervision, we work on all kinds of film and TV. And so, you know, having a wide knowledge of different genres really comes in helpful.
I also find that I get booked often now by people who don't want to have a big conversation about what's necessary because they're like, hey, you'll know what to do. And that's the whole conversation right there.
Yeah, well, you got this. I already know you know. Yeah. And you're interesting too, Canyon, because I feel like not only do you love the music, but you have like encyclopedic knowledge of the music as well. And so not that I can recall like specific instances because I didn't know the facts that you were spitting at me. But, you know, when I see you, I'll be playing something and then you're like, you know, bring up the sample and you're bringing up like the date that this happened and, you know, songs that are in the same genre. And I'm like, Canyon is such a geek. And that's why we love it.
Nerd squad all day. I mean, I have this for really just NBA basketball and dance music. Those two things, I can remember everything. Everything else, I'm like, oh, wait, that happened yesterday? Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't recall.
Yeah, I can't remember anything, you know? Like, I've just partitioned the hard drive of my brain to just be basketball, dance music, and then, like, 2% for everything else.
Listen, those are stats that I can get behind.
So we are talking with Francesca Harding right now on RVCita that we do every single week at the end of the show where we have a friend of the Soup Swallow family come by and pick out three of their favorite tracks from their crates. Did you do your homework? Do you have three tracks for us today?
Let me tell you how difficult this assignment was. You already know. This was a very difficult assignment. So I said, okay, how am I going to tackle this? And here's what I landed on. I've got three songs that I want to share. All right. And the common thread between these three songs is that I remember the exact time that I first heard them. And I remember that each of these songs made me stop in my tracks.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
First one. The General, El General, Tu Pum Pum, come on.
Okay, you starting at 101.
Now listen, when did that song come out? 1990s, probably 1990 actually.
Yeah, I would have guessed 92, could have been 89, but around there, right?
And we were young, little tots running around basically in diapers.
Yeah, now I
exactly. And I remember, so my family, you know, I grew up in Silver Lake and I was walking with my mother. We were walking like across the street from Akbar to this liquor store that's still there in that garage pizza kind of, if you guys are from LA, you know what I'm talking about. And as we were walking into the liquor store, someone was blasting that song from their car. And we were young and I was like, what is this? I remember the feeling that I had. I remember how it made me feel. And it still makes me feel like that, right? Every single time I hear it, 30 years later.
Yeah.
And you know, we give it up. Let's give El General his flowers because he deserves all of them for being such a culture shifter. And we are enjoying the fruits of his labor. And you know, those folks who were in that same, you know, kind of wavelength, but him and those innovators, man, we owe it to them.
This is El General with Tu Pun Pun right here with DJ Francesca Harding. Woo! All right. So we have to end the show on that song right now. I mean, there's 10 minutes more in the show, but like, what more can we do? That is the greatest song of all time, isn't it? I mean,
it really is. And maybe I should have done this backwards because I'm going from the past to the present, second song.
So El General is somebody who literally changed the whole world of Latin music. You know, obviously reggaeton is from Puerto Rico, but in many ways it's from Panama. And he was the one who just changed this whole thing. And, you know, in other ways it's from Jamaica, and this conversation gets very complicated. But what's very simple is this song from 30 years ago, I can play at midnight at any party right now, and it kills the dance floor.
1,000%. And listen, like, I get into arguments with my Puerto Rican friends all the time, but come on now. It started in Panama. I'm gonna big up my country. And at the end of the day too, you know, like, this was a dude who was bringing, I'm so sorry, can you see me? This was a dude who was bringing, you know, Spanish language, reggae, we call it plena in Panama, to the masses. And he was able to reach a level of success that not a lot of Panamanians, Black Panamanians specifically, had been able to reach before him. At the end of the day too, like, I look around and I don't see a lot of Black Panamanians, you know, who have been able to achieve mainstream status when we're talking about reggaeton. And so, you know, that's a crime for me. But at the end of the day, I am so grateful for these innovators, because again, like, all of the songs that we love, really, we can trace back to what El General and folks like him were doing at that time. And so again, like, one of the best songs on planet Earth, changed all of our lives. And I, again, remember that first time that I heard it, and boy, blew my mind.
And two other things about El General. First of all, his personal style, just the way he dressed, his album covers. Dude had such confidence in his identity. It wasn't just this one song and it was vocals. It was a whole thing.
It was a thing, man. That high top, that little flat top that he had, come on, man. But literally, like, and again, I guess I sound very nationalistic, but there's something about kind of this, the amalgamation of Caribbean vibes and, you know, Central American vibes. It's just anytime I'm like in Central America and I'm around West Indians, I'm like, y'all are so fresh, so fresh to death. Not only that song specifically, you know, it's not PG. But the elders, when you hear that song, even though it's talking about a woman's anatomy, like, they were too busy dancing to, you know, make me not listen. And so it was great that I could, like, sneak in that song.
And you know, and that brings us to the future of El General, because, like, my dream Subsuelo booking would be El General, but it's just not possible, because after he put out all these genre transcendent songs, he
found the Lord.
Yeah, Jehovah's Witness, found Jesus, and now he won't perform any of this stuff anymore. And, you know, I'm in no place to judge another man's life choices, but it just makes me sad that I'm not going to get to see him perform these songs, because I bet you still today he could kill this song live.
Kill it.
So we are talking with Francesca Harding right now with our little visita that we do every single week on Alternalido. And you got another track. What's in the middle of your crate right here?
In the middle, we're going to fast forward now 15, 16 years. We're going with Alo Black. Big up, Alo Black.
Superstars.
Air horn. My favorite song, arguably his best song of his career. Don't at me, Alo, if you hear this. I'm not arguing with you about your own catalog. Patria Mia. It's from Shine Through, I believe. Debut record, 2006. I remember when I first heard it. I was at Afro Funky. Remember Afro Funky?
Yeah, shout out Jeremy Soul.
Right? And Glenn Redd and Carrie Sullivan and Rocky Dauni. And so I was there with some friends, and I hear this instrumentation. It really, the percussion in that song is bonkers. And so I feel tingles down my spine and down my arms. And I'm like, what is this? Love the song immediately. A friend of mine who was on the dance floor was familiar with the song. So she dances over to me and she's singing the lyrics loudly so I can hear. Panama. Panama. And then I'm like, wait, this is me. this is the soundtrack to my soul. Love that song. And really, I play it all of the time. I was DJing it out somewhere and I ran into DJ Jedi, another local LA legend. And Jedi was like, you are the only other DJ who plays this song as often as I do. So yeah, it is a favorite track for sure. Patria Mia.
So we are talking with Francesca Harding. We're coming up at the end of the show. Francesca, one second. Let me call the station and see if I can extend our show for another half hour. Oh, no, they said no. All right. So we just have one more song. What's the last song?
Okay. Mentioned him before, but fast forward, I think two-ish years after Patria Mia officially dropped, we have this track from Uproot Andy. It's called El Botellón.
Okay.
Now, we talked about Bodega before. So it was at Bodega when I first heard this song.
Mm.
Our first guest, as I mentioned before, is Uproot Andy, producer, DJ based out of New York. So we fly him out and he's DJing in the guest slot. Now, mind you, Canyon, yeah, I'm Black. Yeah, my parents are from Latin America. But I'm not the best dancer. It is what it is, right? The stereotype, I do not live up to it. I'm an okay dancer. I'm not going to not dance
at a
party.
You dance with joy?
I dance with joy, but no one's writing home to their mothers about me on the dance floor. But let me tell you something. Uproot Andy is DJing specifically when that song came on. Again, I feel like lightning has struck. Mm. Tingles all over my body. And then Canyon, I start dancing like I am in a salsa dancing championship. I'm swerving. I'm flipping. Literally, people were forming circles around me. I know you don't believe me.
You got possessed by that feeling.
Men were leaving their women to come and dance with me. I this is no exaggeration. I speak in hyperbole, but not this time. And it was literally because, as you say, the beat of that song literally grabbed a hold of my limbs and I was no longer in control, which is why I wasn't dancing like I had two left feet. And, you know, that song too meant so much because, again, like, we're first generation American. Some of us are third culture kids. Like, all we do here in the US, we're just navigating so many identities. And so that song and even the tropical bass movement, it spoke to us, right? Because it was just this sonic example of our lives, of the navigation of different identities, but them all coming together seamlessly.
And listeners that have never heard this song might be a little suspicious right now, furrowing your brow. How about just listen to the song and then talk to me at the end? This is Uproot Andy, El Botellón. Ooh, I told you. I mean, really, Francesca told you. That is one of the greatest songs of all time from one of the most inspiring artists to me of all time. Shout out Uproot Andy. We're talking with Francesca Harding. Thank you so much for bringing these three tracks.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. It's been so dope to speak with you.
Yeah, always a joy. So let's just run through the 411 real quick. How do people find you? Where are you at?
I'm on the gram, the Francesca Harding. I couldn't find a longer handle. My apologies. And that's, I guess that's basically it. I'm on Twitter. I am Francesca, but literally, like, find me on the streets in downtown LA, in Griffith Park, hiking on Saturday morning. I'm out and about.
And if you're out there making a movie and you need somebody who actually understands how music makes you feel, and that's why I would describe your explanation of these three songs. You didn't talk about the songs. You talked about how the songs made you feel and your memory of those feelings. And I think that that's such an important part for a music supervisor. What you're doing is evoking emotional experiences out of people.
Yeah, I mean, music can be and should be a character in your film. It should be a character in your TV show. It should be the character in a trailer. And I'd love to be able to help folks bring that about.
All right. Well, this has been Francesca Harding on La Visita right here on Alternalido with Subsuelo. Shout out to Cabra. Shout out to DJ Ethos. We're going to be back in just 7 days with Alex Cuba coming off 3 Latin Grammy wins in the last 3 years. And it's Father's Day. So my dad, David Robert White III, the least Latino person I've ever met, who actually knows hella stuff about Latino music, you know, and that's just how you be when you, decide to fall in love with a certain type of music. Yo soy el Cañonazo. This has been fun. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening. This has been the Alternalido podcast. My name is Canyon Cody from the Subsuelo crew, inviting you to join us over on the radio show where we play new music every Sunday, 11 p.m., broadcasting out the world famous K-Rock 106.7 FM in Los Angeles or streaming on the free Odyssey app. You might find your new favorite song on the radio show, but then come back here onto the podcast and maybe find your new favorite band. Follow and listen to the Alternalido podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app.